to me. Oh!
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, our first study comes from Harvard University. Walking and strength training can decrease the risk of dying from liver disease. And a lot more behind that. Also today, we're going to take on important issues. For example, the Clinton Foundation and ISIS funded from the same sources, according to Julian Assange. Also, 5G technology results will literally melt your heart. That's not a metaphor, that's actual. You'll hear the expert talk about that. And time permitting, the Terminator, Skynet, and Alexa. The present and future of artificial intelligence. You won't want to miss this. So that's our program. And that war, it reminded me of a lecture I did in New Jersey. I'm guessing it was 15 years ago. It was the largest venue that we could find because it was sold out. I was told about 6,000 people. And they played that as a walk down the aisle. And I was high-fiving everyone. It was a wonderful evening. Very fun, lots of humor. And boy, do I miss doing those kind of lectures. But the venues just aren't available anymore. In any case, we begin with physical activity, including walking and muscle strengthening activities, because they were associated, according to Harvard University, with significantly reduced risk of cirrhosis-related death. And chronic liver disease is increasing, partly due to the obesity epidemic, and currently there are no guidelines for the optimal type of exercise for the prevention of cirrhosis-related death. So it's important because just yesterday I received a testimonial from a gentleman named Mike, and he has hepatitis C. For earlier in his life, he was a drinker and a smoker and drugs of all types, faulty diet, and it cost him. He stopped all that 20 years ago, but he didn't know how to turn his life around and ended up in the intensive care unit near death, double pneumonia and the flu, and then his body was collapsing. You have no idea how bad it was. So when I got a call, and that was from out of the intensive care, could I give him some help? And I said, of course. Well, in 3 weeks, his heart irregular heartbeat, which can kill you, normal. His blood sugar as a diabetic at 182, it's now 80, dropped 102 points in blood sugar, stable. His boils, healing, no fatigue from his hepatitis. He's on a strong antiviral program of nutrients. His diabetic neuropathy in his feet and hands where he had no feeling. And by the way, that's where a lot of diabetics end up having amputations. They have no feeling in their feet. So let's say they cut themselves or they have some kind of pinprick or a sharp surface causes a laceration. They won't feel it. And then it ends up turning gangrene and they end up losing their toes and then feet. So now he's got all of this feelings back and he's on a cleanse. So when they say that liver disease, well, walking and strength training are good, you bet. But detoxifying the liver, something the medical community has never accepted, yet everyone in the alternative health communities have and seen the benefits, my hope is that more open-minded people within the community start to realize you could clean up a lot of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, cirrhosis of the liver, etc., and hepatitis. From University of Miami comes a study about allspice. It's an herb. And it can help men prevent prostate cancer. That's correct. Allspice is one of the most widely used seasonings in cuisines around the world. Tastes great. Has kind of that Middle Eastern flavor, that Moroccan flavor. It's also used in Jamaica. It's a natural compound. But in it, there is a chemical that helps delay the growth of prostate cancer tumors. And prostate cancer is a deadly cancer for a lot of men. So allspice, every day. Throw some in your health shake in the morning. That can make a difference. because it contains cancer-fighting compounds that delay the growth of prostate cancer. I won't go through the androgen regulates the development of male characteristics, and the hormone achieves its effects by binding itself to androgen receptors. And an example of an androgen is testosterone. It gets a little more complicated at the biochemical level. Needless to say, prostate cancer tumors co-opt testosterone and other androgens for their growth. If they are deprived of androgen supply, the tumors will not get bigger and spread elsewhere. And hence in comes this simple spice. So that's good. From the University of Tsukuba in Japan, exercise and your antioxidants, there's your vitamin C and vitamin E and zinc, that helps your brain. There was an international team of researchers representing several institutions in Japan and the United States, and they took a look at Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases, as well as age-related cognitive decline. And in their paper, published in PNAS, they found that leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N, in hippocampus mediates benefits of mild exercise by an antioxidant on neurogenesis and memory. So they took this further and found out that just having this exercise and a full spectrum of antibiotics can really slow down the aging of the brain. So for our message, exercise every day, and before and after your exercise, take your antioxidants. Last week I mentioned broccoli because it contains indole-3-carbinol. Indole is I-N-D-O-L-E, the numeral 3, and then carbinol, C-A-R-B-I-N-O-L. It suppresses tumor growth in experimental research. This is from Beth Israel Medical Center, published in Science. So if you're eating broccoli or any of the commonly known as cruciferous family, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, watercress, radishes, you're getting that, and that can help you. It's very important. Also, from the Netherlands Institute of Neuroscience, sleep problems in teenagers were reversed in just 1 week by limiting the amount of screen time use. We forget that teenagers are addicted to and tied to their laptop and social media outlets. But just having sleep in teenagers improved in just 1 week by limiting their evening exposure to light-emitting screens on phones and tablets and computers, it can make an enormous difference. And this was at the European Society of Endocrinology annual meeting. This was presented. So here's a question for you. Why do you need any of that at all? Why not just start and say, as of 6 o'clock, I won't need any of this. I'll enjoy what historically families did, communicating with one another, getting together with friends, reading a book, having a hobby, going out to exercise, playing in a sport, studying, learning a new language, learning new words. These are the things that would help us, not being on these supercilious screens and talking with people who are not our friends. From the Nagoya City University in Japan, the omega-3 fatty acids suppresses angiogenesis associated with colon cancer, which means that the EPA improves interleukin-6 in patients with advanced cancer due to its anti-inflammatory effects. So, if you have colon cancer, make sure you're really loading up on your omega-3 fatty acids every day, twice a day. You want to improve your kidney function? According to Haifei University in China, chives, that's correct. This was published in the journal Food Science and Human Wellness. They looked at the protective effects on your kidney function by having chive extract against chronic kidney failure in this laboratory experiment. And there's several types of chives, including the Chinese chive. It's well-known green vegetable in China. It's used for cooking and in traditional Chinese medicine. So Chinese chives for your kidneys. Also, want to reduce your long-term heart disease risks? Breastfeeding reduces long-term risks of heart disease in mothers. University of Athens, which is in Greece. So women who breastfed their babies are less likely to develop heart disease later in life. That's the findings that was presented at the European Society of Endocrinology meeting. That's been known for a long time. Just want to reinforce it. And for those who are addicted to opiates for pain, the question is, what can get them off of those opiates and relieve the pain? Hypnotherapy. That's correct. University of Greenwich, which is in the United Kingdom, hypnosis can sound like a magic trick to some, but the therapy can be an effective painkiller. A review covered 85 separate studies that have tested the hypnosis for erasing experimental models of pain. That is, where the person is subjected to a painful stimulus. And hypnosis intersects with that, and it can reduce the pain by up to 42%. That's a big difference, and for a lot of people, that could get them off of opiates and save their life from a life of addiction and or death. Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Teens with ADHD get more traffic violations for risky driving and have higher crash risks. But here's my challenge, and I'd like your input. When we come back from our break, I'll ask you for, if you have an opinion on it, please share it with us. Is ADHD, the way it is diagnosed, as commonly and prevalent as it has been suggested and diagnosed, is it real, or is part of it at least made up by the mental health field in support and league with the pharmaceutical companies to sell you Ritalin and other drugs for ADHD, which have incredibly bad side effects? And since when does just being an overly distracted, rambunctious young person count as being mentally ill? And then what role befalls the parents to recognize in a child where you may not have been able to give them the guidance they needed or the discipline to keep them from being distracted and acting out? Do you remember the movie Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, Sal Mineo, Natalie Wood? There was several scenes in there where people would just do stupid things. They'd get in a car and they'd drive towards a cliff and then jump out. The one who jumped out first was considered a chicken. Immature, stupid, yes. People do immature, stupid things all the time. Today they'd be diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and parental defiance disorder, authority defiance disorder. They'd be on a series of medications. There was nothing wrong with their brains. There was a great deal wrong with their personal perceptions of reality. We must distinguish between a perceptional imbalance where a person does not have a full grounding in what it means to be responsible for their actions. It doesn't mean we have to live boring, staid, complacent, obedient lives. When we're growing, we're always going to go through different points, all of us, where we try to separate out who everyone wants us to be versus who we believe we really are. A lot of times, there's a conflation. Authority figures on one side being so insistent that you're something that they need you to be for them to love you and give you the rewards of their parenting, or on the other side, you feeling that what you're doing just isn't right for you. Whether you went to a college instead of going to a trade school, whether you became a lawyer or doctor instead of an engineer or an accountant, all these are crucial life choices, and if we make bad choices early in life, the likelihood is we're going to play these out subliminally later, either over or under compensating with the risks we take and foolish moves. This has nothing to do with the brain chemical imbalance. It has everything to do with perceptional imbalances. And today, if there's the X generation started this malady-bound focus upon, I feel something, therefore it's real. And then the current generation doesn't know how to feel anything except entitled to being right about everything. And you can look a little over their shoulders and you'll see some really dysfunctional family dynamics. Why don't we ever have that conversation? Why don't we ever take a look at the kids of the rich and famous and how they act out and how they're protected and how they live in a bubble and how they're not held accountable, and then compare that to a working class group and then a poor group? And see what's behind all this acting out. I think it's important. It's a conversation we're terrified to have because a lot of people would be looking very foolish and ill-prepared for the responsibilities they had as a parent. What are your thoughts on that? I'd like to hear them. Our call-in number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So, one last thing I'll share with you. Children who walk to school are less likely to be overweight or obese. This is from Cambridge University. So children who regularly walk or cycle, bicycle to school are not going to be as obese versus those that travel by car or public transport. And this is published in the British Medical Journal, Public Health. Now, of course, you have one more thing you must add on to that. In some communities, if a parent allowed the child to walk to school, even though it was safe, alone, depending upon the age of the child and how far they had to walk, the parent would be considered negligent, and Child Protective Services would be brought in, an investigation would pursue, and there's a chance that that child be taken away. Boy, what a difference in the world we live in today versus then. But maybe there's an epidemic of child abduction. No. No, I looked at the statistics, and but boy, have we changed. So everything is choreographed. And by the way, for those of you who are pre-diabetic or diabetic and don't think it's time to change because your comfort foods are more important, I had this conversation yesterday. I was driving to get some really good, healthy animal feed from local growers. And there was a person that I was helping, this man who's 68 and really beaten up on himself in life, and I've taken him in. I'm providing him a home to help him. I'm one of those people who believe if you have an ability to help other people, you shouldn't. And by the way, look at it this way. We have over 10 million millionaires. These people are rich. We have over 71 million wealthy people who are professionals, those who run hedge funds and equity partnerships and Wall Street banks, and those who are accountants and CPAs, head of think tanks. Now, you got to figure that if they only took one person in, and yeah, interview them, see if this is a person likely to change. You don't want to get ripped off, and you can, I have. But I don't blame all poor people or homeless people for the actions of a couple. Why don't you give a gift if you have a gift? And I keep hearing all of these people get up and virtue signal, you know, the Michael Moores. And well, where are all these celebrities in their gated communities with armed guards? Where are they opening up a house, a room, just a room to help someone, to give them counseling, to see that they get the social help they need? If they're homeless vet, to see they get the psychological, humanistic psychological counseling they could benefit from. Just the ability to sleep in a clean bed, to have food and juices, to have someone who will listen to you and be empathetic and try to give you the tools you need to reclaim your life so you can go back to your family and friends and become a constructive member of society. What is telling me, and again, this is just my own subjective impression, is that we're a nation of extraordinarily selfish, narcissistic asses who don't care about anyone except virtue signaling, and you can do that on every red carpet, and I can guarantee you no one from the New York Times or any other publication is going to question you about, you have all this wealth, you have all this money, you have 7 homes around the United States. And one guy who's appearing out there all the time is the virtue of the left. You have 7 homes. 7. I know them because I know you. Not once have you taken a homeless person in. Why not? Why not? You could afford it. So it tells me who a person is by what they do and don't do. What I never do, I never listen to virtue signaling because it's just crap. And it's what's supposed to replace proper civil discourse on important issues. So if we did that, we wouldn't have any homeless people in the United States. We'd have a lot of people not on drugs, not blowing their brains out every 22 minutes, or every 22 per day, I should say. We wouldn't have teens who are homeless. We just wouldn't have it because we would care too much, not just for ourselves. There's someone who I won't mention, but he lives in my building. I know this person very well. I mean, when I say very well, I mean, I know a lot about this person's background. because he's told me. So when you have everything that would seem to be an ideal existence, why ordering 5 McDonald's breakfasts with eggs and bacon and bread? Oh, hold on. Did I forget? You're against neoliberalism, and yet everything that you just bought from McDonald's is neoliberalism supportive. Private jets, neoliberalism supportive. Those limousines, neoliberalism supportive. The movie industry, all of it, rank and file except independence, neoliberalism at its worst. You see, that's one of the mess we have today. We're just not honest about the problem and who's creating it. But boy, do we have solutions that could easily remedy a lot of these if people just did this. Anyhow, on the way out to help this person with their life, which is working very nicely, they're getting perspective and getting a sense of self-empowerment, not allowing them to talk about the past because those past stories are like looking in the rearview mirror of your life and beating up on yourself for all the mistakes you made. That doesn't help us. Understanding what happened that allows us to make bad choices so we make better choices, that's beneficial. In any case, his brother was on the telephone. His brother's literally at death's door. How he's alive is beyond me if I told you all the diseases his brother has. So the question was, what do you have to live for? You got to start. What do you have to live for? A person doesn't have anything to live for, they're not going to live. If a person does have something to live for, you got something. You know, you got a toehold. You've got something that can open that door. If someone says, I got something to live, and they're halfway off a cliff, they give you that one hand. That's all it takes. One hand of someone says, I still have something to live for. You grab that hand and you yank their ass up out of that abyss and say, okay, now let's go to work and let's make your life work for you. But every single thing that was suggested, this person found an excuse not to accept. Every single thing. So that conversation didn't take long. You cannot help someone who's refusing to change. You can't force or cajole or threaten, intimidate. A person either comes and says, I'm ready to change, or they won't change. And you have to honor both. If a person doesn't want to change, you have to honor that. Even if it's your own family members and you know that they're going to go right off a cliff. And a lot of times they have, for all of us, myself included. It doesn't mean you stop helping people. It just means that you understand there's a boundary to which you must stop. A person must voluntarily say, I realize my behavior, my actions are counterintuitive, counterproductive, and just damn right stupid, vulgar, vile, and insensitive. It sounds like a PAI lab meeting, doesn't it? Jesus, what a dysfunctional. In any case, no help there. In any case, that's a terminal situation that is this never fatal. Now, that may seem like an oxymoron. How can something be terminal, not fatal? It's like a cancer cell is immortal. So if everything you do in life is negative and toxic, you're not going to change unless you realize how negative and toxic you are. You have to have a different impression of yourself. You have to see things that other people might see that you refuse to. You have to wake up one day and be willing to see the truth with no photoshopping who you've become. And that's especially true with people with power. Especially true with people running banks and major corporations and these dilettante darlings of the media who have no sense of integrity whatsoever. If you're not willing to see that what your authentic potential is, you're never going to change anything to get there. Anyhow, it was just a thought that crossed my mind because this guy's got diabetes, 345 fasting blood sugar each morning, high blood pressure, morbidly obese, over 250 pounds above normal weight, heart disease, congestive heart failure, crippling arthritis, and living off his mom, who's 91. Kind of unfair, if nothing else, but that's the way it works. So don't assume because someone's at death's door, they're willing to change. You'd be sadly disappointed because the vast majority of people do not want to change. And then some people are so connected to orthodoxy, they would rather die honoring their doctor than change and hopefully cure themselves. And if you want a really good case history of that, reach out to Doug Henderson, one of America's most respected African-American journalists and lawyers, because he will tell you the story of Arthur Ashe and coming every single night sometimes for hours and talking with people who are reversing AIDS, speaking with the medical team, the nurses, the physicians, speaking most important with the patients and with their permission, seeing their records. The last thing he said to me was, I don't want to disappoint my doctor. And he didn't. Hey, kudos for him. He didn't disappoint the doctor. Is there something extremely wrong with that perception? And most people are just that way. That's why 99% of all people try orthodoxy first. That's how conditioned we are. Where if we're conditioned to the authority figures when it comes to our health, are we any less conditioned by the curriculum in schools, how it's taught, the layers of corrupt administration everywhere, the charter schools everywhere, the lack of intelligence or integrity within the curriculum teachings everywhere, the dilettante people at Harvard and other schools acting as somehow, if they were rich enough or corrupt enough, and frequently both to get in, that somehow they are privileged and should be deferred to in all things. And then we idiots make the mistake of deferring to anyone in power. I defer to nothing ever from anyone. I'm that defiant person that gets in your face when you try to tell me that you know better. Do you? Prove it. Say we made a disgrace of ourselves, and therefore we should all resign. Curveball was a legitimate source. We found it out. We broadcast 10 shows in a row on Curveball. New York Times couldn't find the truth. And by the way, this new Syrian allegation they've made, someone asked, you going to challenge it? I took a look. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to rip the New York Times right up the center of their editorial policy when it comes to how inaccurate and biased they were in that piece of journalism. We have facts. They didn't. I'll hold that till later this week when that piece is done. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to put in the public docket one of America's leading and most profitable major corporations and show you how down and dirty and utterly corrupt they are at every level, and the legislators and the media who accept their largesse and take their money and give us nothing but pablum and propaganda in its place. That's tomorrow. You won't want to miss that. I'll be publishing it online as well. So here's the latest from, excuse me, I was up all night counseling people, so my throat is a little stressed this morning. This is from Queen Mary University and the University of Glasgow. Quote, diabetes patients at higher risk of deadly liver disease. They looked at 18 million people. So for those of you who think, well, so I'm pre-diabetic, what's the big deal? Well, you're going to die a lot sooner and a lot more painful. Now, it's your right to die. It's your right to die as quickly or as painfully as you choose until it actually happens. And then you see people screaming in pain and wanting the opiates and then get the opiates and go into cognitive, let's say, withdrawal because they can't recognize people. Or you can prevent this by changing. Ah, that's the poison pill word of the day. Change? Change what? Someone else can change. Artificial intelligence will help us save the planet, save us from our stupid choices. Save us with 5G. Save us with smartphones. Save us with smart meters. Save us with the internet. Save us with Fox News and Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow. That, aren't those the prince and princesses of our Savior? Don't we tune into them? Yeah, if you're a fool. So, just remember, if you choose not to change, and I hope you do, I'd like to see you live a longer, healthier life, then you got to understand what's coming at you if you don't. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Going to go to your calls now. We'll take some calls. Let's say hello to Fred from Long Island. Hi, Fred. Your turn.
Hey, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say thank you First of all, I don't know how long it's been, over 10 years ago, I had met you at a documentary, my wife and I, I think it was Autism in USA or Vaccination, and you had referred us to Dr. Martin Feldman, and I just want to say thank you so much, and he was amazing. He helped my son so much, and we, you know, we stuck to the protocol, and I remember one time I called in, you had told me that I need to do my homework, and at first I was like, who is this guy telling me to do my homework? You know, I felt kind of prideful, and then I said, you know what? I thought about afterwards, I said, you know, maybe he's right, I need to do my homework, and we did our homework, and my son, he was severely affected by, he was in the autism spectrum, and I just want to tell you today that he's doing fantastic. His speech has really improved big time. He's going into his third Regents class next year, and they actually want to change his classification, and he's doing phenomenal. I just want to say thank you so much. Dr. Feldman was a total blessing. I was very sad when he passed. I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for referring us to him.
Let's back up a moment, please. Why do you think I wanted you to do your homework?
Well, probably you could tell that I was maybe just calling you for you to tell me the answers instead of me finding out for myself.
But let's extend that. Let's say that you call me and I give you a half-hour answer. All you know about vaccines, then, is what that half-hour represents as a total of what should be known. Have you heard me say that I created a concept about 2 years ago called intentional neglect?
Yes.
And because of intentional neglect, meaning we intentionally neglect to do our homework. We intentionally don't want to know something, like on vaccine safety and efficacy. And from intentional neglect, you automatically get intentional ignorance. Therefore, you can say, I didn't know. I had no idea. Well, then I would back it up and say, did you want to know the truth? Or were you satisfied with what I just mentioned, authorities saying, we're the authorities, we know best, instead of challenging them to see what they know? They said, the New York Times, the paper of record, said, you know, that the Iraq war was legitimate. And they legitimated it with Miller, who's now over at Fox. That shouldn't surprise anyone. The final home for fascism. But what we have is you only have as much knowledge as what the so-called experts are able to share with you. But if you did your own homework, then you have nothing limiting you to see where the truth is. And what makes a progressive like myself and many listening right now different is we might have been at one time liberals, I was, or conservatives, as many people listening were. But then we began at some point to do our homework and realize that we were being played, we were being manipulated. And therefore, once a person manipulates in place, it shows their real nature. They don't respect us. You know, do you really think most people respect the immigrants? Everything that the liberals, or the Democrats, I should say, were against today, they once supported. Barack Obama built those cages those kids went into. Why then? Why now? Because they want the vote. It's that simple. So if you go to the truth, Occam's razor, go to the most likely answer, the straightforward answer, and it's going to be true in the vast majority of cases. So if you realize people are playing us every day by posturing authority, then you start realizing that the person that needs that authority complex is because they're grossly insecure. More often than not, they're just sociopaths or psychopaths. They're very insecure people. Now, I counsel them. I've counseled over 70,000 people. When you're sitting across from people where there's no retainers, no publicists, no lawyers, there's no posse, there's no one there to glamorize your personality and to protect it, you're just there with me. And when people come to see me, visualize it as the first day of boot camp. Okay? I'm not there to be your friend. I'm there to save your life. And to save your life, like a sergeant major, you have to get to the truth of everything, and you got to get there so a person understands there's a consequence to the choices they made. And then you go through the different consequences and let them evolve it and have them call you and say, I did my homework from the independent literature. Gee whiz. Every single study, thousands and thousands of studies on aluminum show every single amount of aluminum in the body is toxic and neurodegenerative. I didn't know that. You didn't know it because you wanted to be intentionally ignorant. And by becoming intentionally ignorant, not knowing the truth, you then could say that I didn't know. So we should look for the truth wherever it is. Not look at the truth only if it's monikered with something we can identify with. Our religion, our social position, our education, our economic class. Just look for the truth. That's all. But you got to do that homework on your own. And if you can't, get someone in your family or friend to do that homework and share it with you. And just keep doing your homework until one day the evidence for what you should do becomes extremely self-evident. And then you wake up and think, how in the heck did the whole world go crazy on this issue of GMOs being safe or 5G being important to us or eating the food at Arby's, got the beef, you know, and yeah, eat a week's worth of protein in one meal. See how your liver likes that, your kidneys like that, and ammonium and urea and the byproducts. You're going to say no. I'm smarter today than the propaganda I have been living with. So you have to decommission your conditioned self. Does that make sense to you, Fred?
Absolutely.
Fred, there's a documentary. In the documentary, you'll see a young teenager. His name's Jonathan Ortega. His mother and father are two retired New York City police officers. I was counseling when they were both on the force, one working day and one working night. And he hadn't spoken a word, and I think it was 10 or 12 years. Today he's completely normal. When I say completely normal, I mean completely 100% normal. No one could do a diagnosis today and say that at one time he was on 4 antipsychotic medications and he was not able to communicate. He's at the top of his class. So there are protocols that work. It's just that orthodoxy, if they can't patent it, if they can't profit from it, they're not going to look at it. But keep that in mind. Look at Autism Made in the USA for that clip, okay? That'll help you get your son on a protocol to bring him even further back to normal. Do your homework. Keep on it. Nice to hear from you, Fred. Let's hear from one of the people now who called in.
Yes, this is Wanda from Long Island. And I had a comment about the vaccinations for Gary Noll. And I wanted to mention that when I was young and it was 1960, and my daughters were supposed to get the vaccinations. And what I did was I went to the library and I looked up the physician's desk reference, and they had a list of all the side effects of the vaccines, and one of them was autism. So, and you know, I had the paper, I saved it, but I lent it to somebody and I never got it back, so I don't have it in my hands. But anyway, I thought it might be helpful for you.
Good. It is. Clearly, that woman did her homework before vaccinating. And after she did her homework, she saw that one of the side effects or the ingredients from the physician's desk reference was autism. And it's there. It's even in Merck's 45-paragraph description, the MMR vaccine. And the number one side effect of the vaccine is measles. Well, how does that make sense to have the very thing you're trying to protect yourself from become the disease that you now manifest by taking their vaccine? Because we've allowed everyone to profit from misinformation. Good for you. We'll take one more call. Let's say hello to George from California. George, you're on the line. Oh, George just hung up, I was told. Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to go to an audio clip. And this audio clip is important. I'm going to be playing different types of audio clips to challenge some of our beliefs. And so let's take our first one, which is the Clinton Foundation and ISIS, the terror organization, were funded from the same sources. This is from Julian Assange's research.
There's an early 2014 email from Hillary Clinton, so not so long after she left Secretary of State, to her campaign manager, John Podesta. That email, it states that ISIS, is funded by Saudi Arabia and Qatar. The governments of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Now, I think this is the most significant email in the whole collection. And perhaps because Saudi and Qatari money is spread all over the place, including into many media institutions. All serious analysts know, even the US government has mentioned or agreed with that some Saudi figures have been supporting ISIS, funding ISIS. But the dodge has always been it's just some rogue princes using their cut of the oil money to do whatever they like, but actually the government disapproves. But that email says that no, it is the governments of Saudi and the government and Qatar that have been funding ISIS.
The Saudis, the Qataris, the Moroccans, the Bahrainis, particularly the Saudis and the Qataris, are giving all this money to the Clinton Foundation while Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State and the State Department is approving massive arms sales, particularly to Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Under Hillary Clinton, and our Clinton emails reveal a significant discussion about it, the largest ever arms deal in the world was made with Saudi Arabia, more than $80 billion. In fact, during her tenure as Secretary of State, total arms exports from the United States in terms of their dollar value doubled.
And of course, the consequence of that is that this notorious terrorist jihadist group called ISIL or ISIS is created largely with money from the very people who are giving money to the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
You get a lot of complaints from people saying, what is WikiLeaks doing? Are they trying to put Trump in the White House?
My analysis is that Trump would not be permitted to win. Why do I say that? Because he's had every establishment offside. Trump doesn't have one establishment, maybe with the exception of the evangelicals, if you can call them an establishment. But banks, intelligence, arms companies...
Well, they all want him beat.
Foreign money, etc.
Yeah.
Is all united behind Hillary Clinton. And the media as well. So media owners and even journalists themselves.
Now, look at the larger issues. That was John Pilger, also one of the world's greatest living journalists, interviewing Assange. Where is the media's interest to show that the United States and its allies have been supporting the terrorist organizations that we then claim we need all this money in the defense appropriations bills in order to defeat? Is there a disconnect there? There is for me. If you're going to defeat an enemy, a legitimate enemy, then you don't fund them. You don't arm them. You don't train them through the CIA. So when was the last time that there was an inspection of the CIA and what it was doing to destabilize countries to send out its jackals and assassination groups? And we know about that through the work of a person who was on this program. It used to be one of the facilitators for regime change. His name is Perkins. And he said he would go in and offer him silver or lead. If they agreed to go along to become, to an extent, an appendage of American foreign policy, they would have all the wealth and they could do all the corrupt things they wanted. They would never be challenged. If they didn't, then the jackals would come and kill him. And indeed, that's exactly what happened in case after case after case that he discussed. Why has there been no discussion of this? Why has there been not one single expose of the CIA, the National Security Agency? They're spying on all of us. They had no right to spy on us. It was against the law for them to spy on us. They did it anyhow. They even tried to backdate laws in order to be able to justify that nobody should be prosecuted. Wouldn't you think that that would make a major story, a major documentary? You know, who is the enemy? Is it ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, or the United States that funds them, trains them, gives them logistics? But that is a story that you will never see done by any media in the United States. Now let's go to the 5G technology.
A lot of hype about 5G, and today we're going to expose some truth and find out what it's really about. What is the 5G cellular network, and what exactly is it capable of? What does the equipment and hardware look like, and what should you watch out for? And the most important questions, is there a deeper agenda behind 5G? And how does it relate to things like mind control and energy weapons? Find out now on today's edition of Edge of
Comments and in our inboxes. Today we're finally going to put this one to bed. In part one of our two-part series, we'll go far and cover what 5G is.
May even burn off while you're using it.
Maybe. The delay in communication between devices and wireless networks, known as latency, will decrease. 5G is low latency.
What's the current state of 5G cellular technology? According to the FCC, 5G will operate on three different spectrum bands in the US.
There's low band, mid band, and millimeter wave high band. You can think of these spectrum bands as roads and data transferred as the cars on the road.
The straighter and more direct the road, the faster that the cars can drive on it. The same analogy applies here.
Without going into too many specifics here, basically, these higher frequency waves can't travel as far. Sort of like how at home you have to be close enough to the Wi-Fi device to get a signal.
5G stations can only cover less than 1 square mile, so it'll only work with an expansive network of antennas on top of existing infrastructure.
So what does this technology look like? What should you be looking out for?
If 5G has been rolled out in your neighborhood, you might see microcells or small boxes hung up on existing telephone poles, streetlights, or off a side of a building. You might also notice that you grow another head, or your leg falls clean off on your midnight 7-Eleven Slurpee run. You know you still drink those.
So in order for these cell phone and other devices with 5G capabilities to communicate with these 5G small cells, they need a 5G chip.
Qualcomm released its new Snapdragon X555 5G modem, which can run on 2G through 5G and promises to, quote, significantly boost the speed, coverage, and responsiveness of wireless networks. That was a mouthful.
That was. 5G will support autonomous vehicles, additional surveillance cameras, remote-controlled heavy machinery, you know, advancement of internet things.
Our community probably already understands where this is going. Surveillance, remote-controlled heavy machinery, super smart appliances, and we've only scratched the surface. I mean, let's just introduce Hal and the Terminator into our homes.
Isn't that basically what we have with Alexa, like the Amazon thing? Like turning on by itself, doing weird things?
Exactly. Well,
so anyway, at best, Edge of Wonder videos will load faster on your phones, and at worst, Big Brother is watching you, or we should say the deep state in this case.
No. It's not like that. Let's go one level deeper. I mean, I've been alluding to it. How does 5G actually affect people, Ben?
In an appeal to the United Nations, over 240 scientists and doctors with published research from 41 nations listed out the side effects of exposure to non-ionizing electromagnetic fields, or EMFs.
I have no idea how you survived that paragraph. What falls under the category of EMFs? EMFs includes radio frequency, radiation, RFR, cellular and cordless phones, their base stations, Wi-Fi broadcast antenna, smart meters, and baby monitors. I mean, baby monitors? Ugh.
How do these EMS affect us?
Effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, increase in harmful free radicals, genetic damages, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and negative impacts on general well-being. General well-being, I mean, this just sounds terrible. Actually, even the Epoch Times highlighted an occurrence where 150 dead birds fell out of the trees and onto the ground of a park in The Hague, Netherlands due to a nearby 5G network antenna.
Dr. Martin Paul, Professor Emeritus at Washington State University and a leading EMF expert, spoke at the National Institute of Health about the dangers of 5G.
He expressed his concerns that EMF effects will lead to existential threats to our survival. Existential.
The top three among them being reproductive effects, neurological or neuropsychiatric effects, and the germline mutation effects.
I mean, why is this so concerning? When the effects compound to become more severe, they become ultimately irreversible. So basically, our legs fall off and we grow additional heads.
So it's very possible that technological advanced countries to suffer catastrophic drops in human reproduction.
And that, to us, sounds like a page out of Agenda 21 or the Deep State's depopulation agenda.
The Michigan Safe Technology YouTube channel shared a clip from a legislation hearing where Dr. Sharon Goldberg talked about the electromagnetic radiation that causes deterioration of mental health as an epidemic leading to suicides, shootings, and opioid use.
What are the effects on the environment or on animals? A detailed long-term field monitoring study was performed from 2006 through 2015 in the cities of Bamberg and Hasselt in Germany.
What they found was that the trees in low radiation areas showed no damage, while statistical analyses revealed that electromagnetic radiation from mobile phone masts is harmful for trees.
Even trees are affected. Another review by Alfonso Balmori also measured how exposure to electromagnetic radiation, a form of environmental pollution, can harm wildlife.
These animals suffer deterioration in health and reproductive issues, ultimately leading to a decline in animal populations.
But hey, faster downloads and uploads, right? So, no, animals and plants aren't an exception.
So what about humans?
Exactly. They're endangered by the rapid development of electromagnetic radiation caused by cellular technology.
We just discussed examples of how electromagnetic frequencies like 5G can affect our health. But is there even a more nefarious agenda behind 5G?
No. 5G promises super-fast data transfer, which can accelerate different implementations of the Internet Things.
Architects of 5G envision a world where pill bottles, refrigerators, hairbrushes will use small antennas that connect to a low-T network.
Why would we ever need that? Some examples that might require 5G are pantry items that text you when you're low in stock at home, smart appliances that adjust to your behavior, self-driving cars that can anticipate your schedule.
So basically, you just stop thinking at all and become completely controlled by your device. But I mean, we're pretty much like this already.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there drooling from brain inactivity, and I'm going to need a text next time I have to use the bathroom. Rob, you have a bowel movement.
All right. All these smart things are additional data points that a company can collect to understand and predict a consumer's behavior.
This is reminiscent of William Cooper's concept of economic shock testing, which we've referenced in our Deep State series.
Cooper describes economic shock testing as the phenomenon where prices of commodities are shocked and the public consumer reaction is monitored.
So, when staples such as beef, coffee, gasoline, or sugar will suddenly spike in price or availability, people will also drastically respond to that change.
These shockwaves can be monitored through changes in advertising, prices, and sales of that and other commodities, and interpreted theoretically by computers, so that the psychoeconomic structure...
And final thought on this. If this internet that they're suggesting and implementing as we speak, it would kill the honeybees. It already has. Now, they haven't withdrawn the neonicotinoids that Monsanto and others, DuPont, have created, so one-third of all of our food even under the best of circumstances, will no longer be able to be maintained because you're not going to have that pollination. Also, everything that you write, everything you say in social media now will become a part of your resume. And last year, more than 25 million Chinese were not allowed to board planes because their social acceptable media status was not up to the standards of the Chinese government. Every single thing in your life is monitored. Now, for young people, the vast majority would not find this at all a problem. Would you? Would you want every single thing you do? Because right now, everything you do, and you're around that Alexa, imagine you had that Alexa in your bedroom. Thousands of people are listening to what you do in that bedroom. So just, and it's everything is recorded. Everything. So that's just one of the side effects of 5G technology. More on an upcoming program. You won't want to miss tomorrow's program. We're going to take on one of the most powerful, wealthiest, and politically connected and media-savvy companies in the world. And we're going to expose them. So you won't want to miss that. Have a nice day, everyone.